Hi, welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast, where turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. In this podcast, I'll bring you resources, tips, interviews, and lots more to help to grow your business and make it less dependent on you.
Hey guys, Dan Bradbury here, and in this week's episode, we're going to talk about what do Leonardo DiCaprio, Oprah Winfrey, Tiger Woods, and the CEO of Google have in common. But before I do that, let's talk about the member of the week. This week, the member of the week is Jeremy Vernon. Jeremy is the director for Core Fulfillment, one of the UK's fastest growing e-commerce fulfillment services. Massive congrats to Jeremy, who won the Success Mastermind Best Newcomer at the December SMM Awards ceremony. Jeremy has shown excellent leadership and has taken massive action within his business following Success Mastermind and the Skill Days. Check Jeremy out at corefulfillment.com. On to this week's episode. What do Leonardo DiCaprio, Oprah Winfrey, Tiger Woods, and the former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, have in common? And the answer is they all have coaching. Now look, I immediately almost want to dismiss this because it's obvious, right? If you look at sports, if you look at any high-level support, whether team or individual, there is a high level of coaching. Technical coaching, physical coaching, psychological coaching for individual sports, tennis, golf, etc., but also team sports, football, rugby. They have people on staff that are there to make sure that the individuals are performing at their best. But what's less talked about is it in the arts, but it's still common. You know, so for example, Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, one of the most famous A-listers in the world, right? He speaks about it. He is coached by none other than the legendary Mr. Tony Robbins. Now, he doesn't really talk about what goes on in the sessions, but he's gone from significant strength to strength over his career, and he is coached by Tony Robbins. And Hugh Jackman also is very vocal about the importance of both therapy and coaching has had in his career. What's even less talked about, however, is not coaching in the arts or performance or in sports, but in business. Look no further than, I believe he's still the chairman of Alphabet, but he was formerly the CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt. He says the best business advice he ever got was to hire an executive coach, right? And at the time he was given it, the advice was given to him by a board member. He was already performing tremendously well with Google. It was growing like wildfire. He didn't need a coach. So he avoided it. He resisted it. And eventually he was one round. He started getting coaching, and he later said in an interview with Fortune magazine, everyone needs a coach. And somebody else that is so legendary by brand is media mogul Oprah Winfrey. So her business, her empire is just monumental. And she attributes a notable part of her success to her life coach, a woman called Martha Beck. So she's a real advocate, and she often on her show, she's speaking to different coaches and recommending one for everybody. So chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you're already convinced and you've probably already dabbled in coaching or had coaching or get coaching now. But it's useful, I think, sometimes to have a reminder or a deeper dive. So the question I've got for you is why? Why does it seem to correlate so strongly with high performance? And I think there are three primary reasons. Number one, you can't see your own blind spots, right? This is often referred to, in an article on Tiger Woods, the golfer, that he can't see his own swing. So in business, I don't know if you've had the experience, I certainly have, where I've been stuck in a problem for weeks and weeks and weeks, and eventually I pick up the phone to a coach or a mentor, and they immediately can see how to solve the problem. They see what the root issue is, and they can solve it in 5 minutes, right? I think it was Einstein who said, you can't solve a problem with the same level of thinking that created it. So that's why you need different outside thoughts. I spoke about it in a previous episode on psychological distance. That's number one. You can't see your own blind spots. Number two is to challenge you, to hold you accountable. So personal story on this. I don't know how many years ago it was now, 10 years ago, something like that, when I bought my first investment property. So I'd already been doing business for a long time. And by most people's standards, I built some wealth. But I'd failed to kind of diversify, and I wanted to get into property. I knew a lot of people that had property investments, but I just never got round to it. Even though I understood the basic tenets, the basic principles. So I went and hired a coach, and I was coached by this guy approximately every 2 weeks for, I think it was 3 months. And basically, we would agree on the call what we were going to do, and it was nothing revolutionary. He would give me a few little tips about where to search, what to do, what to look for. But it was really just reminding me of stuff that I'd probably already read about or heard about from friends. And then what would happen between that and the next call is I would agree the actions, and then I would promptly do nothing for about 13 and a half days, right? Because I was busy with my businesses. And then the night before the next call, right? So the day before, I would quickly ram in, you know, the property searches or whatever I needed to do, a couple of viewings, etc. I would quickly ram it in because I didn't want to go to the coaching call having said, I've done nothing. So, and that accountability ultimately meant I purchased my first buy-to-let investment property, you know, within a couple of months just from having that coaching. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. It was that accountability that I needed. And of course, after I did the first one, the next one and the next one, etc., followed soon thereafter because I'd got into a groove. I'd gotten into a rhythm. So a great coach or mentor will challenge you and hold you accountable. And number three, and this is one that I think is often significantly underweighted, is emotional support. So there was a fantastic report, so scientific data, research done on Olympians, or specifically Olympic swimmers. It was only published last year, but it studied 38 Olympic swimmers who had collectively won 59 Olympic medals. And what they were intending to do is to understand what were the elements of coaching that made a difference. I've seen there was actually another bit of research that was between Olympians who got medals and Olympians who didn't. And a long story short, because it was a very detailed analysis, it factored in, it wasn't the technical competency of the coach, i.e. their proficiency as a swimming coach, for example. It was much more weighted towards the conscientiousness and their ability to manage emotions in their clients, right? In the coachee, right? In the students. So that seemed to get the impact. So yeah, of course, they may have had significant technical competence, but actually it was that connection and the ability to help support and manage the emotions of the client that helped them see through. Which makes sense, right? So I'm using it interchangeably here, even though coaching and mentoring are slightly different. But, you know, if you've got a mentor who's been there and done that, they might be able to tell you what to do, but they can also understand, they can connect, they can empathize with how you're feeling and make you feel better about there is a way out of this. So they are the top three reasons to help you see your own blind spots, to challenge you, hold you accountable, and for emotional support. So, as you think about this, right, if the biggest movie stars in the world, if the biggest sports stars and teams in the world, if the most successful business people in the world are using coaches, coaching, therapy, and you're not, why aren't you? And if you are, do you have the right coaches? Do you have enough coaches? Are you getting enough coaching, right? Are you getting it in the right areas? It's something just to think about, to reflect on. Over time, you know, when I think about it, that some of my mentors, so Keith Cunningham is the one I speak about most frequently, who's still coaching me to this day. I've spent multiple six-figure sum having coaching and advising from Keith Cunningham over the last 10, nearly 15 years now. Significant impact. I've spent significant money with people like Dan Kennedy, Jay Abraham, and really one of my students, actually Chris Matthews, who's been a Mastermind member for over 10 years. He's a real data freak, and he went back and analyzed the money that he'd invested in coaching, mentoring, Mastermind groups, that sort of thing. And he basically saw I believe, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a 10-to-1 ROI, but it took about a year in delay. So, you know, in other words, if he invested £10,000 in coaching or mentoring, not that financial year, but the following financial year, he noted that the income, his return on that investment was increased by £100,000. Or something very, very close. I think it might be 9.5 times. So drop me a note, Chris. I'll put it on the show notes as to exactly what the ROI was. So there's a lot of details to this. It doesn't just mean, clearly, sign up with any coach anytime and, you know, it'll work or get you ROI. Clearly, you need to think these things through. You need to check it out, make sure that they're happy, meet your criteria. But I do think being conscious, being purposeful, without being too cliche, working on your thinking, on your mindset, on your business, can pay very, very, very significant dividends. If that's of interest to you, if these podcasts resonate with you, I've got a special offer on at the moment. I'm looking for a few more mentees, a few more people to work with. So get yourself on over to danbradbury.com/first call and you can find out how you can try me out, put me to the test and see if I can help you with your biggest problem. If you want to check that out, go on over to danbradbury.com/first call. So that's two things this week. Onto the recommended reading. I've just finished a phenomenal autobiography by Michael Dell called Play Nice But Win, A CEO's Journey from Founder to Leader. And it goes right from his childhood to how he founded Dell Computers, which was later Dell Technologies, how he made it a public company, took it private, then took it public again. And it takes it all the way through up to and into the pandemic when he wrote the book. And there's a phenomenal story in there about what he did one summer when he was still at school that allowed him to make $18,000 in a summer. And this was late 70s, early 80s. And that was more than his teacher's salary at the time. He made it in a summer part-time as a kid. And it's just a phenomenal example of entrepreneurship. And the book is littered with examples of that. And tying into this podcast, he also had a lot of coaches, mentors along the way. So this week's recommended reading is Play Nice But Win, A CEO's Journey from Founder to Leader by Michael Dell. And finally, closing quote for this week by Lucy Crawley. A great mechanism to aid success in business is to surround yourself with positive, like-minded people. All right, that's it for this week. I will see you next time.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Three things you need to do now. Number one, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.